This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The cardiac birds were at it again
Can't
today.
Keep them down, Bone.
8 runs scored in the 9th inning to pick up a 13-10 win over the Twins in Fort Myers. Joining us now is Andy Koska, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. Andy, before we get into today's game, prior to the break, we were talking about Grayson Rodriguez, who made his Grapefruit League debut yesterday. He talked about the modified delivery to try to avoid those lat strains. You've been down there. Has that modified delivery been noticeable to you? And what are you expecting out of Grayson in 2025?
If I'm being completely honest with you, I hadn't noticed it until he brought it up. We were talking very, minute differences, between different muscle groups here. Mm-hmm. I'm not a professional pitching coach, so while I pick up on some major things, that one slipped by until we added that, nice little detail in a press conference yesterday, which. Makes total sense that he would look to change something like that. You have 2 lat injuries in 3 years or whatever the time frame is. Make some sort of change, and it has not impacted his velocity. We've seen that. His pitch shapes still look good. So seems like it's a totally fine thing to do, and shouldn't impact him, negatively at all. And if anything, should help him out a little bit.
We shouldn't be surprised at this point about Jackson Holliday looking the part in spring training games, because offensively he certainly did that last year. I think defensively was probably a little bit different. How much more comfortable does he appear, albeit limited sample size and still not major league speed type of game, but how much more comfortable does he look at second base to you?
He looks really comfortable at second base. I do think that even late in the season last year, when he was in the majors, it looked a lot more comfortable. I looked pretty steady over there. I know it might not be gold glove caliber defense immediately. He does have good range. Mm-hmm. He played shortstop growing up. In fact, in a pinch, he could play shortstop for the O's. But I imagine, second base might be the home just because of the arm. And also the fact that you have Gunnar Henderson over there, a shortstop, who, right now, I know he has some lower right side discomfort, but the word from the team is that it's not a huge concern as of this moment. Of course, we'll stay on that and see if it does become a concern at some point. But Jackson does look very comfortable in the field, and batting wise, and we saw what he did the last 8 games of the season. Small sample size. We've seen what he's done the first week of spring training games. Again, small sample size, but. Has looked pretty confident up there. The thing that I've enjoyed watching most with him, and I'll probably write about this next week, is that he's looking to steal basically every single time he gets
there.
Up.
We go.
And obviously, right now is the time to do it. Brandon Hyde said post game today, he does not care if Jackson Holliday gets thrown out every single time on the bases during spring training. Does not care. because what he really wants is to practice his jumps, practice, you know, it's not, he has, Jackson has straight line speed, but there's a lot of art that goes into stealing a base, you know, and you have to pick your timing. You know, are you going first move against a lefty and risk getting, you know, a back pick? You know, there's so much, you know, that goes into stealing a base than just pure straight line speed. And so I think it's been fun watching him out there. In the first inning, he hit a line drive single to right field. So he was, you know, right on the baseball. A couple of innings later, hit the monstrous two-run homer. But just starting the first inning here is gets on first, immediately steals second, takes off for third. He decided to, and this is just him getting his timing down. He took off early for third, and the pitcher stepped off and threw him out of third. But that's fine. I mean, those are things that you're going to learn with facing different types of pitchers. Maybe they hold the ball a little bit longer. They mix up their delivery short, you know, they go short to the plate, all sorts of tricks that a pitcher does to try to keep a run game close. And so Jackson's going to pick up on that, but I think he has the potential to be quite the speedster on the bases. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, if we see more of that, it's pretty exciting to watch.
We're speaking to Andy Kosko, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Andy, you brought up the Gunnar Henderson injury. I'm using air quotes. Thankfully, it sounds like he's going to be fine. But when that happened yesterday, it really got us thinking, especially with Jorge Mateo, not knowing how long he's going to be out. Backup shortstop currently on this team. Does that concern you there? It seems like there's not a true viable guy.
It doesn't concern me too much at this moment because I do think that Jackson can be he can be a major league level shortstop if he needs to be. Plus, you have Jordan Westberg, a shortstop his entire life before he made it, you know, high levels of the minors, where third base, second base was more of his thing. You know, Jordan Westberg can slot in at shortstop as well. Obviously, neither of them will be as athletic perhaps as what Gunnar Henderson brings, just with the combination of range and arm strength. Westberg simply is not the you know, same caliber, and he's the first to admit it, but Westberg is a good fielder as well. Jackson has the range that can play over there if you need him to, so not a major concern right now, especially because it appears as though Gunnar will be okay, and this is just a, you know, rest him this weekend, see what he looks like on Monday, but no MRI or anything like, you know, scheduled like that. I think it's pretty minor.
We've been kind of taking different people's opinion on the state of sort of the Orioles roster construction, and does it skew a little too young? Are there enough sort of differing personalities, guys maybe who have an edge? We chatted with Freddie Gonzalez last Friday, and we asked him about Tommy Pham or other potential acquisitions last year leading up to the deadline, and he basically was doing backflips and cartwheels saying, my God, I was politicking for that guy all the time, and I think he's exactly what we needed, and I was kind of surprised we didn't do anything to add anybody like that, and they haven't really done anything now. Is that overstated? Does that matter at all? Are they running any risks by running it back with that same crew who kind of like couldn't police each other last year, right? Like the bad habits and it all kind of snowballed in a negative direction.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie would know better than I. I mean, he was bench coach and was in the mix every single day. You know, obviously I'm in the mix, but it's going to be naturally different when a beat writer walks into the clubhouse for an hour. Everyone's going to be on a little bit better behavior.
Right.
So I might not see it as well as Freddie. And so it's something, you know, every time, you know, he speaks, obviously it's worth listening to. He's a terrific baseball mind. But I do think he has something of a point in that, you know, obviously has something of a point because it's, you know, he knows what he's talking about. But I would agree with that point is that, you're dealing with the, you know, kind of the same guys that did not maybe have the medal for dealing with the pressures of playoff baseball. And maybe it changes because you added a 41-year-old in Charlie Morton. And you believe that guys like Adley and Gunnar and Jackson are another year older. They have the experience under their belt of two disappointing Octobers in a row. I guess you can believe that, you know, in that sense, you know, this team is going to improve. But in the same token, I'm surprised that they didn't bring kind of a, you know, clubhouse guy. You know, I remember when, you know, in 2022, you know, just having having Robinson Chirinos as backup catcher was a huge portion of kind of teaching Adley Rutschman how to be in the major leagues. And they have Robinson Chirinos back as bench coach. It's possible that they believe that that kind of leadership and how he really relates well with players of all varieties, Latin American and you know, naturalized U.S. Citizens. He has a really great rapport in that clubhouse. So I wouldn't be shocked if they do believe that maybe Robinson is part of that answer. You bring up Buck Britton, a guy that they loved, a lot of guys loved in AAA when he was manager there. Again, those are both coaching staff. And in you know, when you're talking about professional baseball or professional any sports, at a certain point, it's players policing themselves and players leading themselves. And so I wouldn't have – I'm a little bit shocked that they didn't bring in a clubhouse guy mm-hmm. of that ilk, but I don't think it is – the be-all, end-all. Mm-hmm. I think this team, that you can easily make the counter-argument, and I will right now, of, you know, they you know, another year older. They have the coaching staff changes that they feel like bring in, former players and former coaches in Buck Britton that guys really rally around and believe in. And you also added a couple of veterans like, you know, Morton. Gary Sanchez has been through postseasons before. So, we'll see. I mean, we'll find out. We can debate this till the cows come home. But you know, it's we'll kind of find out together in October. But I guess to circle back to the beginning, if Freddy Gonzalez says something, usually that's a pretty good point.
He's Andy Koska, covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. Andy, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend.
At the bottom of the hour, we're going to get back into the Ravens, revisit the poll that we put out on IA 105.7 The Fan in regards to the Ravens spending. But coming up next, going to get back into the Terps. They need a bounce back win at Penn State, a place that they have not won much at all since joining in the Big Ten, as in just once. Can the Terps buck that trend? We'll get into it.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on The Fan.
Something that hopefully we'll get better at, and you know, you got to take the last shot there. And I think Kobe, we had fought so hard to come back, got a great rebound, got the push, and then, you know, that's just a tough way to lose a game. But give them credit, they got back, they came back, and Holloman hadn't made a shot all night, so once he released it, I knew that thing was going in.
For accuracy's sake, Holloman, that was his third made shot, but he was 2-for-11 prior to putting up that prayer to give Michigan State a 58-55 win over the Terps. And it was a gut punch loss for Maryland, Jason. And that was far, 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 far from their A game. It was, quite frankly, their worst offensive performance of the season, the lowest scoring output, 55 points. And outside of Rodney Rice's second half, the entire Crab Five was blech.
I mean, it's just, you knew it was a different challenge. You knew Sparty could rotate four bigs. You knew Sparty's going to play 10 kids significant minutes. You knew Sparty'd be up for the fight with Maryland scoring 90 on everybody and them being the best defensive team in the league and one of the best rebounding teams in the league. You knew that if it became, to use Izzo's words, a rock fight, one of these teams has just sort of lived that life and is accustomed to it. And the other one is equipped to win that way on occasion, but I don't think wants to play that way for 40 minutes the way that Michigan State is okay with it. So there's a quirkiness and uniqueness to that sort of style of play that you won't see all the time, and they're better for having seen it, but they're also not going to be able to beat any teams, let alone a team that good. I think with the season on the line, when one guy, in this case, Rodney Rice, has more than 3 made baskets from the floor the entire game. When you get dominated in the paint, when the other team's got 14 offensive rebounds and you've got 4, when you've got no second chance points, that's not going to work.
It leads perfectly into this next cut from Kevin Willard saying that having played that game is going to help them in March.
It's going to be good for us in March. You're going to face a team from the SEC or the Big 12, where you're going to have to slow it down, get it inside. I thought our first half offense, we just didn't get the basketball inside to Jew. And again, a little bit amped up, a little bit coming off a tough bye week. You know, we talked about getting it inside, and I just thought we got a little amped up in the first half. And I thought that's kind of where we put ourselves behind the eight ball a little bit.
And it is a good point, because Maryland is not going to dictate pace every single game. And just kind of hearing that quote, it sort of brings me back to, remember the Washington game?
Yes.
Where Washington slowed it down, and that was a big reason why they were able to pull off the upset there.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I don't think it's impossible for Maryland to win games 65-60.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
When they're stuck in defensively, and both bigs' hands are active, and they're competing for rebounds to the best of their ability, and they're not in foul trouble, I think Maryland can beat a lot of teams that way. I think beating that team that way, even in an environment as raucous as Xfinity was that night, is it still plays to their strengths a little bit more. I tend to think Ben, I'm interested to see what you think. I tend to think it's going to be way more wide open and loosey-goosey at Penn State. And I think Ace Bailey getting together on the same court with some of his Baltimore guys and his St. Francis guys. Like, I mean, Penn State don't have a whole hell of a lot to play for. Like, they look to me like a team that wants to run and gun and beat you to 80. It's going to be harder to do that against the Terps than Indiana and some of these other teams they've played lately. But I don't think this is going to be that type of game.
Yeah, Penn State, they're not very good defensively. And
bottom five in the conference.
Right. When you look at the Terps and how things went against Michigan State, you have to expect them to just bounce back in a massive way and be scoring a lot and be looking for their shots a lot more. And I think Willard will also force that ball inside to Julian Reese and Derek Queen. And I think in today's game, like a lot of people, when you hear that, think, oh, well, there won't be a lot of scoring because three is more important than two. Queen and Reese are two of the best passing bigs in the conference as a whole. I think they're going to cover. 4.5, I saw, is way too low for me, but I do think it'll be a high-scoring game.
I do have to bring up the history of at Penn State.
It's not good,
it is terrible. Maryland has not won at Penn State since their first season in the Big Ten.
It's crazy.
February 2015, they have lost 7 straight games at Penn State. And this isn't just Maryland being bad teams playing. No, they have been ranked in 4 of those 7 games, including as high as 4th in the country in 2019-2020. But I'm with it. This is not... I would be shocked if they lose this game tomorrow. After that gut punch of a loss the other night, and that's what it was, quick turnaround from Wednesday to Saturday. This is going to be a laser-focused team. Are all 5 of those guys going to play as poorly as they did in that? I just find it hard to believe, especially considering Penn State defensively.
I mean, it would seem to be the quintessential bounce-back opportunity, a less tenacious defensive opponent, a team that doesn't have 4 7-footers they can rotate and sort of wear you down, a team that is not competing for a conference title the way Sparty is, a team that doesn't have the depth that Sparty has. This to me should be more like the Rutgers game, more like the USC game, more like, I think, when they faced bottom 6, bottom 7 defensive teams in this conference, it's tended to bring out the best in Maryland's run and gun and half-court offense.
You got to win this game, and you got to win Northwestern. That's how I
Absolutely.
See it. Because you are still fighting for that top 4 seed in the Big Ten. And other games to keep an eye on down the stretch if you're a Maryland fan. We brought up the UCLA-Purdue game tonight, where obviously they have the same conference record as Maryland. Michigan State play each other to end the regular season. And Wisconsin plays at Michigan State in their next game as well. So Maryland, what they have in their favor is they, of course, have the tie break with Wisconsin, with UCLA, and depending on how Wednesday goes, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the winning the conference
you want to get the double bye.
Yes, just be secure in that top 4 seed, beat the 2 teams you're supposed to beat. Look, I didn't fear Michigan State, but I think my level of respect for Michigan State and my concern about Michigan State's ability to win a style of game that Terps might not be able to thrive in, I don't feel quite the same way about Michigan. I don't think Michigan is as stout defensively. I'm not saying they can't win that game, but certainly you got to beat the 2 teams you're supposed to beat.
Michigan... At one point this year, I was like, I was really buying in. After watching last night, I think they're frauds. I think they might lose out. I mean, Illinois.
Well, I saw this stat earlier, Ben. Michigan's 9-2 in their last 11 games of the Big Ten, -12 scoring margin. They've won by 4, 4, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 3, and 2. Losses by 27 and 13.
Scoring 75 points on the Terps? Like, I don't think so. And are they not Sparty? They're not holding the Terps below 70, I don't think. So, like, I don't fear the math, or again, fear may be too strong of the word. I don't think the math works in their favor nearly the way it does for Michigan State.
They should have lost last night, and Amari Burnett chucks in
that
a deep three, and it was
massive three.
It's going everywhere. It's nice because we don't have to deal with the Michigan State videos much anymore, but like they don't scare me.
Coming up next, we're going to get back into the Ravens and their spending habits or lack thereof. Jason has the numbers. We have a poll. We'll give you the results on the other side. Just a couple weeks away until the NFL's new league year officially gets underway, which is March 12th, and then the 2 days prior, everyone's favorite term, the legal tampering period.
Doesn't really matter underway. Around here.
Especially scouting combine, right? No agents are talking to other teams.
No,
right?
But I'm saying that the negotiating window doesn't matter here because you're not signing anybody in the first 2 weeks of free agency. That's... you're not laying the groundwork for those deals. And you could talk to your framework. You could talk to your own free agents whenever you want.
That is correct.
So that's not really much of a event on the local football calendar.
Ravens, according to overthecap.com, just under $12.5 million in cap space, but focusing on the spending. And you had the numbers yesterday.
Well, even that 12 and a half, it's there because they want it to be there, right? Because that's what they want you to think they're up against, because they're only going to do the gymnastics they want to do or they don't want to do in terms of spending to get on to create more. I mean, that's there because they haven't reworked certain contracts. They haven't done extensions yet or take Rob Peter to pay Paul. And I don't know how much of that they really want to do, because when you do that and you create space and then you don't actually spend with additional payroll to fill it, that is a weird optic as well. But clearly all they want people talking about is that number right there. Ooh, that's tough. That's going to make life tough. We're 12 and a half against a fake cap that we could go over by as much as we want. There's nothing precluding us from going as far over that as we want with cash. It's just that we have to keep the cap number to a certain point. But there's teams that routinely are $70 million in spend above the cap.
Speaking of the cash, we put out a poll, IA1057, on Twitter. Ravens hide behind a soft salary cap, but the Eagles' 24 payroll was $65 million higher. Ravens rank 27th in cash spent last year. Bishotti gets a sweetheart stadium deal from the state, but since 2017 had a top 10 payroll once, ranked 21st or lower four times. Is that sufficient, Ravens flock? Is that really all in? This is live till tomorrow, but already over 750 votes in. 64.4% try harder, Steve. 35.6%. This is just right.
I mean, this is all happening at a time when NFL franchise values are growing exponentially, and we saw the first team sell for $3 billion, and now that's chump change, and the practice facility has been upgraded. The stadium, thanks in large part to Baltimore's and the state of Maryland's taxpayers, and the lease deal is to Steve's liking, and they're building exclusive clubs in all these areas that most Ravens fans will never experience. And they're displacing Joe Sixpack seats that he's had forever to make room for more rich guy seating. And they're doing it for pennies on the dollar. And at the same time, he doesn't think he needs to be in the top 10 in spending pretty much ever. Like, I find that wild. And the fact that most people don't think of it that way because they've basically brainwashed you to focus on a fake cap number kind of boggles my mind. And the sport in which it's basically financial socialism for billionaires, the way they share the pot and the way they share their money and the way they do the TV deals basically ensures everybody makes a ridiculous boatload of money. And then you also have this cap to hide behind if you really don't want to spend. Like, it boggles my mind that they can go out there and talk about, well, we just don't have any more room and we've done all we can and that's why we need these 11 picks because they don't make any money and that's why we need to sign $1 to $2 million bargain free agents. No, you don't. Howie Roseman spent $65 million more than you just last year and he's got a Lombardi trophy for it. And not just spending to spend makes sense, but when really good front offices have that extra 50 to 60 million to spend that some of their competitors aren't willing to do so, that's going to tend to play out in the end, and it's going to tend to matter. And I don't think being 23rd or 32nd or 17th or 16th or 21st or 27th, I mean, that's where they've ranked on a yearly basis in, what, 5 of the last 7 years. Like, that doesn't strike me as really trying. That doesn't strike me as taking that $600 million handout you got from the government and doing all you can to reinvest it into your product so that you get a parade around here. Like, I would expect more.
One of the moves in which they would need to spend cash to create cap space would include Lamar Jackson, of course. If they were to give him a contract extension, it could significantly lower that cap hit, but they'd be spending the cash up front. One of the moves, which it could be a release, not going to happen, or a trade, would involve Mark Andrews. In the final year of his deal, he is set to earn a $7 million base salary in addition to a $4 million roster bonus due his way a week or so after the first day of the league year. And scouting combine, John Harbaugh, everybody's out there now, on-field workouts, of course, happening. And John Harbaugh talking to BaltimoreRavens.com about what position groups he's looking at. And he did mention the tight end position at the end.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, you're always going to be trying to build an offensive line. That's going to be critically important. And you really do start everything from the beginning. Every end, at the end of every season, is the beginning of a new season. You know, the end of a week is the beginning of a new week, even during the season. So we're trying to build ourselves up to be the best football team we can be. And it does start on both sides in the trenches. It starts with the offensive line and defensive line. So we'll probably be saying that pretty much every year, but we'll work our way back. You know, we're going to be looking at defensive backs. We'll be looking at inside backers. We'll be looking at edge guys. We'll be looking at, I'm sure we'll be looking at running backs. People don't think we need a running back, but we'll be looking hard at running backs. It's a good running back class. I'm sure we'll be looking for quarterbacks to back up Lamar. We'll be looking at tight ends, the young tight ends, even though we don't even have a need for a tight end. We'll be looking at those guys.
Don't even have a need for a tight end. Just keeping an eye open. Who knows? Something might happen.
Yeah. I think the general manager thinks he might need a developmental tight end. Because, yeah. And look, if they do trade Mark Andrews, it's not going to be because $11 million or whatever for Mark Andrews is breaking the bank, but it's going to be because they have a cash budget and they are operating under certain constraints. And the way they want to structure their offseason, that feels a bit rich to them. Doesn't mean they didn't get $11 million out of him last year, and doesn't mean all of a sudden they're going to be running five tight ends or five wide receiver sets all the time, and so we don't need tight ends anymore, or they're changing their offense. No, it doesn't mean any of that. It's just that they don't think that player is worth it, and they want to reallocate the resources to other players. You don't have to trade Mark Andrews to pay Isaiah Likely. I'm old enough to remember the team that won it all trading for A.J. Brown, paying A.J. Brown, and still paying Devontae Smith. That happened. They've been in the Super Bowl 2 of the last 3 years. But we've been conditioned to think, oh boy, can't have Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith. Can't have Likely and Andrews. Can't have two starting corners making real starting corner money. But just go watch the dynasty in this conference. Andy Reid, what's he doing? He made Joe Tooney the highest paid interior offensive lineman in the NFL, and he's going to keep him, and he's going to move him back to guard. He made Creed Humphreys the highest paid center, and they didn't say our right guard can just walk. They're going to tag him and pay him like a tackle too. Do you think Steve Bisciotti would do that? There's zero empirical evidence that he would. I can't even find back-to-back years where he's been in the top 10 of spending, let alone the top 5. That's what they give you. So when they fall short, it's not always about Andrews dropping the ball or this or that. Are some of these other teams more invested in high-end talent than the Baltimore Ravens? Fair question to ask.
We got one more break to go before we turn it over to Beltway Ben Hall and Cordell Woodland for the fresh take. We'll give you the text of the day and preview the weekend for Baltimore sports next on The Fan. You're going to have your remote on the ready tomorrow, Jason. because Masson is blessing us with a spring training broadcast.
Ooh, Orioles sound. How about that?
Orioles, they're taking on the Pirates tomorrow, 1:05 first pitch. And prior to that first pitch, Maryland taking on Penn State, trying to snap a 7-game losing streak at Happy Valley. So that means our pregame coverage with Mike Popovic gets underway at 11 tomorrow, 12 o'clock tip with Johnny Holiday and Chris Nockey.
Running out of real estate here. Running out of games.
Yeah.
Almost time for conference tourney. Some smaller conferences will start their conference tournament play next week.
Towson, right?
The CAA, starts next week. Now, Towson probably won't play till next weekend.
Yeah. There's a tournament that starts tomorrow.
Who starts tomorrow?
I'm pretty sure. Hold up.
Really? Jeez. Yeah.
Hey, the madness is upon us now, man. I mean, this is the best time of the year.
And to have a team that has legitimate Sweet 16 aspirations, and look, I'm not selling them short. Maybe more than that, but I think Sweet 16, most people would say, is doesn't feel like a stretch. We'll have to see the seeding and all that. And they've got to take care of business tomorrow.
Got to.
They've got to take care of business senior day against Northwestern. And again, I as we talked about, I think we all feel like they've got a real shot to beat the Wolverines as well. If they were to run the table, they're definitely looking at a double bye, and then you win one game in the conference tournament, and you've got a shot. You're 4 or 5.
Easily. Easily a 4 or 5. Before we step out, let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check. Text of the day! Text of the day! Text of the day!
Text of the day! Okay. Text of the Day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive. Driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the Day comes from James in Baltimore, who says, Max Crosby would be an awesome gift for the Ravens this offseason. Feel like he'd be the final piece to the puzzle.
I brought up his name earlier today. That would be the big swing. Do I think they're going to do it? No, because they'd have to give up multiple premium picks. And then give him a brand new contract. And we just have not seen them pay for Edge.
No, I don't think they'd do it either. I think they're going out of their way in the two instances where the general manager's been available to the public. They're going out of their way to set your expectations incredibly low. I mean, they're going out of their way to signal, not that we've learned lessons from the past and we're going to do everything we can to do it differently this time. It's like, well, you know us, and boy, our situation's even really worse than usual. So we're going to take what we can get in the third wave of free agency, and we'll find our value plays, and we'll use all these draft picks, and we'll be one of the better teams in the league again next year, which they will be. Will they be one of the final four or final two standing? We'll see.
We were the appetizer to Ben Hall, Cordell Woodland. I'd like to think a good appetizer, like a really good crab dip.
It's not really for us to say, but
really good crab dip, you think?
I hope. Maybe a crab pretzel or
a crab pretzel.
Like a nice ahi tuna.
Ooh.
Kinda, you know what I mean? Like they slice up the tuna real nice as like an appetizer, something like that. But it could turn out that we're just like peanuts.
Peanuts. Well, the filet mignon is next. Ben, what do you guys have on the fresh take?
We'll be talking about DaCosta and Harbaugh's comments. Talk to Brendan Mortensen of Masson a little bit about the Orioles. We'll talk about Channing Frye and LeBron's comments on being the face of the NBA and that kind of heating up.
You don't want to be that.
What is that? I mean, we don't have nearly enough time. I mean, like that whole face up, like it's completely indiscriminate. It really, like, there's no way
fired up out the door.
Like, define it. It's completely in everybody's own head, and it means nothing.
All right, deep breaths. You got the good mattress to get great sleep, which continues.
I can't wait. The Tempur-Pedic, baby. It's even better on the weekends, I think, so far. I mean, I've only had it for like 10 days or something, so I can't totally speak to it, but it's like I just keep finding out new things about it all the time. It's like a young romance, Bone. It's unbelievable. Me and this mattress.
And you're still in the honeymoon phase.
I think we're going to be in the honeymoon phase a long time.
A long time.
Until they take it away from me.
That is it for us. Everyone, have a great weekend. Don't turn that dial. You got the fresh take.
Jackson homered.
Cordell Woodland, Ben Hall, coming your way next.